Gone are the giveaways. Gone are the one-off payments that people received in the last budget. They included €200 extra for people on the living alone allowance, €300 extra for people getting the fuel allowance, €400 extra for people getting the working family payment, €400 extra for people getting a disability allowance or a blind pension, €400 extra for people getting the carer's support grant, a €1,000 reduction in college fees, a double child benefit payment in November and December, and energy credits worth €250. They're all gone. The summer economic statement, to be published next week, will set out the amount of money that the government has to spend in October's budget as the country faces huge economic uncertainty, mostly due to Donald Trump and his threat of tariffs on the EU. We're going to talk about that now, and we're joined in our studio by the Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue, is with us. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Justin.
Let's start with the economic picture. We know that the government is hoping that there'll be a trade deal between the EU and the United States, but nothing is certain. And if there isn't one, then the tariffs will be 30% on EU goods entering the United States. There's going to be an impact on US companies operating here, and there's likely then to be a trade war. If all of that comes to pass, what are the implications? What is the government projecting would happen in this country?
So a number of weeks ago, Justin, we brought forward an economic forecast that said if there were 10% tariffs in place within our economy between the US and the European Union and 60% tariffs between China and America, it would mean a lower level of growth within our economy. And it would mean up to 75,000 fewer jobs being kept or created within our country. Regressively, the scenario that we now face could involve an even more significant effect on growth. It could involve a further effect on the job creation, a number of jobs within Ireland. But that is why we continue to negotiate so hard through the European Union to try to avoid that happening. And thankfully, we are approaching these moments of great challenge with our economic finances in good condition, our public finances in good condition, and a record number of people at work in Ireland. So we are facing challenges, but I'm confident that with the decisions we have made, the hard work of the people of Ireland and further choices we can make, we will rise to this moment and get our way through it.
You've given us the projections for 10%. Do you have projections for 30% tariffs?
So we are working on that at the moment. It's not as straightforward as saying there would be a simple extrapolation forward of the figures that I've already quoted in terms of the effect on job creation and retention. But I think it's also important to be honest that the impact on job creation and levels of employment within our economy would be worse and would affect where we believe we are likely to be. The key thing as we are responding back to that is to back the work that we are doing, led by Minister Chambers, to invest in our country's future, to see how we can offset that. And then the work, for example, that Peter Burke is doing, our Minister for Enterprise, and how we can make our economy more competitive. So this is a big challenge. We need to have a moment of recognition of that. But we've faced challenges before, and we will get through this one too.
Spending in government departments has grown by around 8 or 9% each year for the past few years. Is that going to have to be reined in?
So we are going to have to reduce the level of current spending growth that we have within our economy. The key reason for that is in current spending at 8 to 9% was happening when inflation was between 5 and 10%. While the cost of living is still so hard for so many at the moment, the rate of increase of prices is around 2%, not 5 or 10%. So we are going to have to reduce the rate of growth. But the key thing is that current spending will still be growing. That will mean we will be able to invest more in our day-to-day public services. And you made reference there a moment ago to the kind of one-off measures that we had in place when inflation was high.
We will talk about those in a moment.
But I think it's just to very briefly say, Justin, before we come on to that, still spending more day-to-day in our public services, which is what I want to do and the government wants to do, still does give us the ability with a fair wind to continue to improve what our public services are doing.
Are you seeing evidence that companies that are established in Ireland are postponing major decisions or that there will there will not be growth in foreign direct investment in that sector, which we've become so dependent on.
So what's very encouraging is if you look at the figures that the IDA published to our organisation that support foreign direct investment, they had a really strong first half of this year, and the amount of investment within our economy and the jobs within our economy, 2.8 million people at work, it's never been higher, continues to be very positive. But to directly answer your question, in the engagement that I have with large employers in Ireland and large investors in our economy, I am seeing them pausing decisions they're making. That's not the same thing as saying the decisions won't be made or they can't go in our favour in the time ahead. But understandably, with the level of economic uncertainty that is there, employers are taking care regarding decisions they make, which is why an atmosphere of certainty here in Ireland and economic policy and investing is the best way to try to mitigate the uncertainty that others feel.
Does that mean then there are fewer jobs in the pipeline?
So the forecasts that we have at the moment, excluding the impact of the 30% tariff, were that to happen, still shows a high level of employment growth within our economy. And to answer your question, still shows the number of jobs being created in Ireland growing, but it does show growing at a slower pace. But we have a challenge because of the trade uncertainty, which is why negotiation, which Simon Harris, which Micheál Martin is doing, and investment and competitiveness is the best response back.
It's been confirmed now that there won't be any one-off payments in October's budget. I gave a list of some of them at the top. There were one-off payments for people getting the living loan allowance, the fuel allowance, the working family payment, the carers grant, the blind pension. Do you accept that when you get rid of those one-off payments, that you're going to hurt the poorest and most vulnerable in our society?
So you gave an accurate list of the measures earlier on that were one-off in nature. Can I just briefly give a list of the permanent measures that have been rolled out at the moment? And the reason why it's important to say there's permanent measures in place is because we have permanent measures in place to help the most vulnerable within our society.
But sorry, you are taking away those one-off payments that people got last year. So by doing that, aren't you going to hurt the most vulnerable people?
I accept that the removal of one-off measures is going to have an effect on those within our society. Of course, I acknowledge that. But we have just spent the first half of our interview acknowledging the really big challenges that we could face in terms of jobs, in terms of growth, in terms of our public finances. And we need to make decisions now that can help, but that won't create further challenges or risks for us in the future. And as we speak at the moment, we have rolled out measures to help carers. We've rolled out measures to help with the cost of going to school. We've rolled out measures with the cost of going to college. We've rolled out measures to help with the cost of childcare. They were permanent measures that were brought in recent budgets. And what myself and Jack Chambers, working with our colleagues in government, will aim to do is continue to affordably roll out measures that we want to be permanent, that will help those who are the most vulnerable and help those who are working hard within our country.
Do you accept, though, that there will be people, including poorer people, who are going to be worse off after October's budget than they were last year?
So I don't accept that at the moment.
Why not? How could you not? I mean, if you're going to take away those one-off payments from them, how could they not be worse off?
Because what we will seek to do is look what permanent measures that we can bring in that would help those who are the worst off on a more permanent basis.
And are those permanent measures going to make up for what they've lost?
Well, the government is really aware that there will be many who will be affected by the removal of measures that were large in nature when inflation was high. But the reason why those measures are going to be changed, and as I said, we're not going to be in a position to repeat them, is that inflation will not be growing at the pace that it was in the past. So to answer your question, what we will seek to do is bring in measures that will be more permanent in nature, that will mitigate the effects insofar as is possible of the removal of those measures. But we are doing all of this to try to keep our economy safe and to try to ensure that by keeping our economy safe, we have the resources available to us year by year to help those that are vulnerable and to make progress on challenges within our society.
You're talking there about targeting supports, But, you know, there are some people who won't receive targeted supports in the budget. So aren't those people going to be worse off after the budget than they were last year?
But those who are not going to be receiving targeted supports are likely to be seeing their income grow ahead of the rate of inflation for the first time in a number of years. And critically, it's likely that many of them will be part of the 2.8 million people that are at work in our country. And the key theme of this budget is going to be how we can create an economy that will keep those people in work and keep a record levels of employment within our economy. And in order to do that, regressively, because of the environment that we're in and the pressures that we're facing, we have to make choices. And if you look at where we are at the moment, with public finances that are safe, with so many people are at work, that's because we made sensible choices in the past to help us deal with moments of uncertainty. We have a moment of uncertainty again. We will get through it. We will overcome it. But in order to do that, we have to make choices that are sensible and ones that we can afford.
And households have a lot of uncertainty coming up. I mean, costs have gone up for everybody. The cost of basic groceries like butter, milk, meat, that's all gone up. The cost of petrol has gone up. The cost of electricity is enormous for people. And people voted for your government after you helped them last year. And now you're going to take that help away, that one-off help that you gave them last year. Were people sold a pup? Were they fooled if they thought by voting for your government last year that they would keep getting the help they needed?
Well, in the election debates that happened, again and again, I made clear and was honest that if we were in a moment of challenge, we would have to make decisions that would continue to help and to keep our country safe. We are in that moment of challenge, in that moment of certainty, and we're acting in the way that I and my party outlined at election time. But when you talk about the challenges that households are facing, when you talk about the challenge that people are facing, when I talk about the economy of our country, what I'm talking about are those people. When you talk about households and the challenges that people face, when I think about the people at work in Ireland, when I think about the needs that our society has, I'm thinking about those same needs too. Just very quickly, Justin, what I and the government want to do is to bring forward a budget that will continue to try to help with those challenges, reflecting the fact that inflation has come down, but acknowledging now that we're seeing the world change around us. And we have to reflect that now in decisions we make in our economy and creating the ability to be able to invest in better water, in secure electricity, in allowing us to build more homes.
But the accusation that was thrown at you last year was that you were trying to buy people's votes with their own money, with those one-off payments. There's no general election this year. There's going to be no cost of living package this year either. So can you see what then why people might think that your critics were right and that the cost of living package last year was done cynically for the purposes of winning an election?
So I answered those questions truthfully then. I'll answer them truthfully now. When I was dealing with those questions a year ago, when I was bringing in that budget that helped with the cost of living, I did so at a time in which inflation was very high within our economy. And I always said again and again that these are measures that could not be permanent. And I said that at election time. I'm making that argument here again. What I also said
that people have the same problems this year as they had last year.
And we have seen the rate of price of growth within our economy, the rate at which prices are going up, really begin to slow down. While I know many are still facing challenges, but those challenges have been added to by all of the questions that you put to me at the start of our interview. And if we're not able to have good answers to those questions about how we can keep and create jobs, about how we invest in our economy, about how we can keep our public finances safe, sadly, what will then happen is that in a year's time or 2 years' time, our ability to help households, our ability to help those who are vulnerable will become weaker. And I don't want that to happen. I believe we need to get the balance right in the budget. And that's what Jack Chambers and I are working to do.
I want to ask you about the Occupied Territories Bill. At least 10 members of the US Congress have spoken out against the bill. The business group IBEC is also warning that the bill could be harmful for Ireland. Are they right?
We've always acknowledged that there are consequences in any decision that we make. it is important to be clear that in the bill that we are bringing forward, it's referring to an extremely limited amount of trade that is taking place from the territories into Ireland. And I believe that if you look at the enormous trauma and the awful, awful loss the people of Gaza have endured due to the action that has been taken against them, always acknowledging, of course, the hurt and violence that happened in October, that was also the catalyst of much of this, that it is so important that the government of Ireland make clear that we are diplomatically acting to try to lessen and weaken that harm.
There have been claims, though, made by that US companies could be subject to fines and penalties in the United States if that bill passes, because it could breach American laws which prohibit boycott, divestment and sanctions against Israel. Do you accept that those are real concerns, and that there are potential consequences for Ireland if that is the case?
There are consequences in every single decision that we make. You've correctly brought forward to me the economic consequences of economic decisions that we make. And when you make a diplomatic decision, there are consequences to that too. But that is why we are doing three things. Number one, we're working within the European Union to bring forward a coalition of countries that feel the same way that we do about what has happened in the Middle East. Number two, it's why we're acting in a way that we believe is consistent with our law and that of the European Union. And thirdly, it's why we are engaging diplomatically with America to explain what we are doing and why. And we will continue to pursue those three steps, because we do believe it is really important that we send a very clear diplomatic and political signal regarding our view of what is happening to the people of Gaza.
Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, thank you for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you very much, Justin.
28 minutes past 8.